From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
I know who that is.
Now for some real user power. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
It's Tuesday, May...
On average.
I'm so concerned about the date, which I can't remember, that I forgot that we need to average this sucker out. It's Tuesday, May something or other. 2009.
Boy, I'm just carrying you on this one tonight, aren't I?
Don't worry, I'll carry you later with my copious notes.
Okay. It is May 26th, and this is show 041. I'm sitting upright this time because I was not happy with the results of my experiment last week where I was recording in a supine position.
Oh, I had no idea you were reclining.
Yeah, that was the whole thing where I said I was sitting there with my feet up.
Okay, I didn't realize that you were, you know... laid out, though.
Well, I was in my chair, which rocks backward some. This is me rocking backward, and this is now me rocking backward with my feet up.
Maybe you didn't go far enough.
It makes me more of an asshole.
Well, maybe you should have gone all the way and got like a gurney or something.
Yeah, I should have just laid back on the bed here or something.
Well, I just wasn't listening, and I pledge to you, Paul, I'm going to be a better listener.
I'm sorry, what? See, that was some comedy there, because I wasn't really listening to
you. I see what you did there. Okay, screw it then.
All right, run through the big board, if you would.
Okay, 169 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. That's a big jump up. They are now disciples of lore. You can be, too. The Whedon Watch, the seismic scale reads 3.2 for aftershocks.
You know what? We've discussed this. I say we drop the Whedon Watch and the McCartney Watch from the podcast. They still exist, but we don't bother mentioning them until anything of any real significance happens.
See, I thought that you kind of wanted it, and you probably thought that I kind of wanted it.
Yeah, because we're both so goddamn passive-aggressive.
Yeah, see, this is a case example, folks, in communication. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been staggering on for weeks. And just because we were too chicken shit to breach the topic,
yep,
it's gone. Now it's just the minions in Poochie Corner.
Yeah, speaking of which.
Poochie Corner, in which we discuss people discussing us. The riff tracks we did with Jonathan Colton on Tron just was announced.
Was released.
Released and announced. And it's,
announced, then released, technically.
No, they released it, then announced it. And then they released it again.
I see.
Getting some good buzz out there. So hurry to rifftracks.com to hear us... say scripted witty things instead of half-baked unscripted things.
That's right. Only $2.99. Cheap as free.
Yep. And entertaining if
we aren't making money off of every single sale or anything like that. So it's not even like we have a vested interest in pushing it whether or not it's good.
No, I'm proud of that.
I had a great time doing it. I was very happy with the result, and I hope the peoples out there enjoy it.
I feel like we earned some kind of lifeline merit badge thing.
Yeah, we got some sort of patch to sew to our brownie vest.
Yep. Just working with those guys. Okay, enough about patting ourselves on our collective butt back.
Sure. What's going on, Storm?
Well,
with the notes.
Well, I have one more caretaking thing.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Take care.
Jumping back to the minions, we discussed briefly. We appreciate everybody who wants to join the brigade, and the brigade is open to everybody. However, there are a few slight rules to it, which
we must review the rules, I think.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, well, I mean, so you got to submit your picture. Everybody's good at that. However, they seem to be missing the part of the rule where the picture has to indicate, either via sign or text or something scrawled on your face or some other manner, indicating your minion status. It could just be a piece of paper that says minion that you're holding. It could be that you superimpose letters on, some sort of, computer that you're holding. Or you actually have the computer display minion or, anything. You can take a look at the gallery and you can see how creative folks have gotten. We have gotten an increasing rash of folks submitting their pictures with no textual indication of their minion status.
Your pictures are beautiful.
They're wonderful and we love them.
And we love you for that. But you're not really a minion until it's indicated you dedicated.
What we've done is we have grandfathered everyone in.
Yes, we have
up until this point
issued the warning.
And what we have done generally, because it's easy to do on Flickr, which is free, doesn't obligate you to anything. So if you don't have a Flickr account, just go get one, and then you can use their editing tool to just, throw down some text that says minion. It takes you 2 minutes. We've been doing that up until this point. No longer shall it just go like that.
Meet the new boss, not the same as the old boss. From here on out, if you are to submit a picture for minionhood and it does not indicate minionhood, we will do it for you. However,
but
you will be joining the Dunce Cap Brigade. It will be noted on
it's a minion brigade. Maybe it should. I don't know my military terminology. There should
detail.
Be a grouping
called a detail.
A detail. Dunce Cap detail. I like detail. That's alliterative too.
Exactly. And in addition to that being noted in your minionhood, there will be a dunce cap, which we will create, which will look very crude, not like naughty crude, just not artful. And it'll be very clear. Now, I think we talked about this, Paul, earlier, that you can rectify it.
I think so. If you resend your picture or send a new picture, With properly indicating your minionhood status this time, I believe you can be taken off the dunce cap detail.
Okay, enough caretaking, I say.
So is that clear, everyone? Of course, most of you that listen are probably already minions, but spread the word to your fellow civilians out there.
Now, this wasn't part of the notes, but as we head to the fresh, we've just been discussing dunce caps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I don't think I've ever seen one in real life.
I remember seeing them
in cartoons, especially.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if anyone has ever, been forced to wear a real dunce cap, not like in a school play type of thing, or an ironic, I don't know, maybe hipsters wear dunce caps now.
It could well be the new thing in the streets of Park Slope. I had a teacher who made one up once, but it was sort of in an ironic fashion. Like, it wasn't like the cap was there, and whenever you were bad, you were made to wear it. I think she just sort of made it once and jokingly made a kid sit in the corner and wear it for, 5 minutes. But, it certainly wasn't, purchased from the Dunce Corporation.
I'm picturing smokestacks belching into the sky and just a stream of dunce caps coming out from
white cone after white cone after white cone. I wonder if it's sort of clan-like overtones are what made it disappear from
modern society.
That and the whole turning away from punitive teaching. As corporal punishment disappeared from the public schools, I wonder if the dunce cap, so went the dunce cap.
Well, it's similar to a timeout. The idea was, not only are you out, but you have this tall hat that.
Well, except a timeout was for a kid who would misbehave, whereas I always got the impression the dunce cap was for somebody who just didn't get their answers right. Like, if you were stupid enough, you'd wear the dunce cap, which is kind of
kind of harsh.
Yeah, kind of harsh.
You just needed a little extra attention and not to be thrown in the corner with a pointy hat.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
It is curious, and the word dunce, but that's too esoteric. And another pledge that I give both to you, Paul, and to you listeners is to not talk out my ass quite so much. I might bring up a topic and muse on it, but like the tiki thing, that I brought up last week, mm-hmm. got some great feedback, and there's actually quite a body of work exploring tiki culture and how really it was after World War II, a number of people pointed out, with all the sailors who had been stationed in the South Pacific or fighting there.
Yep.
So, makes only sense. Half the half ass will be asked okay. from now on. I do have a few topics.
Sure.
That I can shoot by you. I have a billion poems. The Sound and the Furry. Danger Maid. And My Wife is Fabulous.
Let's go with My Wife is Fabulous.
I'm glad you picked that because it's just a little thing.
Uh-huh.
I was drawing up the notes for this actually last night. We originally thought we were going to do it last night.
Yeah.
And this is sort of a process thing. Typically, in the half hour or so...
10-minute mark was about 40 seconds ago.
Typically, about half an hour before we actually do the podcast is when I actually think about, what would be some things that we could talk about? So there we were, watching whatever we were watching, and my wife peers over, and she says to me, where's the topic, My Wife is Fabulous? Which I promptly wrote down, and her face promptly turned beet red. And I said, that's it. It's in.
There it's we go. In. And here we are now discussing the fact.
And I promised I wouldn't embarrass her any more than that.
All right. Well, that was easy.
Yeah. And she is fabulous. So she's... just for the record.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a topic that I would like to discuss. I think it might relate to one of your topics because we were discussing earlier, and it was something I had been thinking about earlier in the week.
Sure.
And it actually goes off of our whole experience with Tron.
Okay.
Where I went back and watched the movie Tron in our preparations for doing the Riff Tracks, which was probably the first time I had watched it since I was 12 when the movie came out in 1982.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it sort of struck me because while I knew at the time it wasn't a great movie per se,
right,
I remember being very entertained by it.
Yes.
And I go back now in 2009 with my 39-year-old man eyes.
39-year-old man eyes is the front runner for
that was sort of semi on purpose topic. But even trying to watch it through the filter of remember how impressive this was for its time and right. how cutting edge it was for its time.
Right.
I didn't quite remember how god awful terrible that movie was. Like from both a story standpoint, like right. just sort of a poorly written script. It was right. not very well acted. Not one of Jeff Bridges's shining moments.
Yep.
And just all around, not a good movie.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think it's, you brought up the point that part of it was the, the technology at the time. Not that it was the most cutting edge thing ever, but it was something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing this video game world, which you and I and so many others were just so enthralled with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we dreamed about being in our Atari 2600s.
Yeah.
We did. And you're right on the mark about that would have been fine. You could forgive the effects if there were a solid, either the characters or the storytelling. Two movies in particular that I thought of while you were talking were 2001 Space Odyssey and the first Star Trek movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2001 Space Odyssey, it was mind-blowing for its time. The whole space effects and so
right.
much of the first half of the movie is just, they're in zero gravity.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some interesting ideas underneath it all.
Yes.
And a killer robot.
Yes.
So
awesome
you can watch
robots.
It. Yeah, you could watch it today and say, okay, it's a little boring watching these stupid effects, which we've surpassed by 20 kajillion. But
I wouldn't even necessarily say so much, you know, especially for a movie that was executed in 68 or whatever. This just happens to be a little pet project of, not project, but a fancy of mine is the movie 2001, which still holds up amazingly well.
I agree, but I'm saying that.
But I know where you're going though. Yeah, that just the fact that, you know, the wow factor is lost.
Right.
40 years on.
Yeah, the effects are good, but the amount of time they spend showing the guy buying his plane ticket from the jackbooted disco girl at the space station.
Well, I mean, that was sort of the point of the movie. You know, that was what Kubrick was going for, was, you know, trying to intentionally slow things down and bore you. But that's a whole nother discussion.
That's his thing. And then
that's his thing. By the way, I will also say, just to well, it's not a name drop because there's not a name per se, but I saw about 15 years ago, I saw 2001 in 70mm at the Uptown in Washington, D.C., an original Cinerama screen. And that's how you need to watch that movie, is late at night on an extremely large screen that is covering your field of view.
And possibly stoned, if that's what you're in.
Well, that helps. I wasn't, but I'm sure that helps too. But you were saying two movies. I keep interrupting the point you are leading to.
Oh, no big point. It's just another example.
The thing that drove it home for me was yesterday being Memorial Day. One of the channels, I can't remember which at this point, one of the kids' channels or TV Land or something was running, of all things, a Land of the Lost marathon. They showed every single episode of the original Land of the Lost series, as a way of promoting the upcoming Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
And that was another show that I was enthralled with as a child in the mid-late 70s when they used to show it. And I knew at the time it wasn't, again, necessarily good, but I would enjoy it and be interested and caught up in the story. And I was watching, you know, the whole family was watching them. We watched about four episodes in a row because we couldn't believe how incoherent and strange and just batshit insane some of these episodes of this show were. Speaking of stoned, that's you know, Sid and Marty Krofft's finest hour, as far as I'm concerned, is just some of the weird, stupid shit they came up with for that show.
But I think that, you know, as a kid, at that time, it would have been interesting, sort of like, you know, when you're a kid, you can eat sweet things or sour things all day, and you're given a steak and some wine, and, you know, you'll go, blah, you know, you're not, that's what you're attuned for. You're attuned for sleaze stacks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, it's the thing that interests me about it is, you know, was I just less sophisticated? Was it a less sophisticated time? Because, you know, my kids were watching the show last night and they were enjoying it, but they weren't buying it. When I was like nine,
all of that,
I sort of bought into Land of the Lost, you know? I certainly thought it was, you know, even at the time, even though I knew it wasn't even cutting edge for 1960, much less 1970, whatever it was, I got very caught up in the effects and stuff. And my kids, children of the new millennium, didn't buy it for a single second. They enjoyed it far more for the camp factor.
And that's, I think about that sometimes, and I think it does have to do with, if you can show people things in a way they've never seen before, it's going to impact them greatly. Like, think back to the dawn of cinema, like you and I remember from our youths.
And what do you mean, when the moving pictures first came out?
Yes. And one of the early examples where the guy would take it from, you know, from vaudeville house to vaudeville house was just a series of very short films, no sound. One of them was just a steam train that you see in the distance, and it approaches, and then the camera is on the tracks or dug into it, and the train passes straight over.
Yep.
I've read accounts where people would, like, run screaming from the theater. Nowadays, you know, you see this film and you don't get what the point is.
Right.
But it's because we've been exposed to that. And then, like, King Kong, that genuinely terrified people.
Yep.
Because they hadn't been shown that technology before. Sleestaks, you know, when I was a kid,
I was scared
gutless
by
them.
They were some spooky shit.
And, you know, in part is because you're a kid and it's presented spookily, but, you know, the level of technology was still more or less guy in a rubber suit.
Yep.
And it
takes a lot more. With visible zippers, I will say.
It's the visible zippers that get the job done.
Yeah. So my question, 10 minutes on into my topic, for the people out there, is regarding other experiences you had. You know, this seems to be sort of, you know, we do a lot of comparing to our youth on this podcast, but this is, I hope, a slightly new take. What other experiences did you have when you were younger that you have gone back and revisited years later, and the original experience has been ruined because you're now watching it as a mature adult?
That's awesome. That's awesome. There's one someone I was talking with, and it comes up a lot, is it's not exactly the same thing, but like the taste of a Coca-Cola or a soda. And I wonder if that's because they changed it to corn syrup or if it really is, you know.
You're just more tuned to thing. Sweet.
Yeah.
Could be.
And fizzy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was pretty good.
Yeah, so that's a nice little run. Some food for thought, I suppose. That's about 20-some minutes in. Do you have another quick topic?
Yeah, yeah. Danger Made.
Okay.
I mentioned this to you. This was on our visit to Peoria this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of these little odd slice-of-life things that I still can't figure out. And maybe some of you folks out there can offer some insight or at least entertain us with your versions of what it might have been. We were staying at this nice hotel, not fancy, but not bad, and getting ready to go. I've got my guitar in one hand and my bag in the other, which I'm wheeling behind me, and I pass one of the housekeepers who's, you know, just a regular regular housekeeper, like not creepy looking or spooky.
Or 900 years old or anything.
No, no, like could be.
You didn't feel like she was going to steal your soul.
Well, no more than anyone else.
Right.
And
she didn't have a particular interest in your soul.
Not that I could tell.
Right.
Not that I could tell. She did not have her solometer trained upon my head or my heart.
Right. She wasn't pointing a little, you know, desiccated chicken's foot at you and muttering in some bizarre language.
No. In fact, she spoke to me in very regular English and said, how did you enjoy your stay? And, you know, aside from a spider in my bed, which I, you know, I didn't want to bring up because it seemed rude.
Yeah.
It was a fine stay, and I said so. And then she said, "Be careful."
Like not salutation. What's a goodbye of sorts?
I guess so.
Like she didn't say "be careful" because there was some sort of thing you had to step over or trip over. It was just sort of, you know, instead of saying "see you later," she said "be careful."
Right. Like almost like, you know, after a show, we'll often tell people drive safe, especially if the weather is weathery.
Yep. Because otherwise they would go careening home and get into all sorts of accidents.
Hey, that could be the difference between life and being a twisted wreck.
Well, at least once we've said it, it's no longer on our conscience. Like we're blameless at that point.
Right. It's like a reverse safety.
Yep.
Okay, it's nothing like a reverse safety.
No, but it
sounds
cool.
It makes us feel good. So, and she said it in a tone that, like, she was trying to convey some meaning. Like, she was a shaman, you know? She had cast lots and knew that the person in room, whatever we were, might be in danger. Or, I don't know.
Did she make a hoodoo on you?
Yeah. Oh, now that you mention it, she did have a dead chicken. No. And I don't know. I'm paranoid, and
you are.
I recently shaved off my Van Dyke. It's not a goatee. It was a Van Dyke, and I don't know. I think I look more ethnic without the facial hair.
You do look a bit swarthier, I think.
Yeah, and not in any. You couldn't say exactly what I am.
Mm-hmm.
You're
just sort of generically Mediterranean. I tend to think of you as.
Yes, and. More than anything else, and I get everything from Spanish to Italian, which is partially correct, to Russian, which is partially correct, to Moroccan, but the most common is actually Lebanese, which I am not.
No.
But I just wonder if, because I sort of looked vaguely ethnic, it wasn't said in a threatening way, but almost a, you know where you are, right? You know, you're in the middle of Illinois, you know, take care of yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Why else would someone say, be careful?
Well, I guess that's a question for the people. Personally, I think it's Paranoid Storm going again, and it's
of course it was
that lady's version of take care, which really is more or less saying the same thing.
No, it's
but
different.
you wouldn't take such a paranoid tack if somebody said take care,
right? And that's what makes it seem so odd, because they're different tenses. Take care isn't direct; it's not a command so much. Be careful. It's caveman talk. Take care.
Actually, I entirely disagree. I think take care is far more of a command, because it is telling you to do a specific act. Go and take care with you. Whereas to be careful, you know, exist in a state of care. It's a more thoughtful phrasing.
It implies imminent danger. If you say, you know, with an exclamation point, you know, be careful, that means something's heading towards your head.
Like a safe or a piano?
Or a piano safe.
I love my piano safe.
Yeah, they're great.
No one ever thinks to look in the top octave.
Please tell me, if peeps out there, if you have ever been told be careful as a not salutation, but parting.
An annotation.
Ta-ta.
A delutation.
Speaking of delutations.
Yes.
Before we get to the delutation, where are we going to be? What are we going to do?
Oh, he said, reaching behind him, making that faraway sound as he opened up his laptop to look at his schedule. We are going to be this Saturday, the 30th of May, at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, Georgia, with Jonathan Colton. And then on Saturday, June 13th, we're going to be at the Edwards Opera House in Edwards, New York. That's always a fun one. We were there 2 years ago. Had a great time. And then the 19th and 20th of June, which is, I believe, a Friday and Saturday, we are going to be at Chadwick's at the Rogue Regency Inn in Medford, Oregon. And that's it for a while. We're going to try and pick up a few things here and there for the remainder of the summer before things pick up again. But our next scheduled show so far is not until the Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, got to write us some songs or something.
some shit like that, yeah. So there you go. You can find out about all of that stuff at paulandstorm.com.
Where you can also find out more about joining the Brigade of Minions, Disciples of Lore.
And putting text indicating your minionhood or suffering the consequences.
Of the dunce cap detail. And until then, and whenever, I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Go put it in your piano safe.
Be careful. Go do things.